This article is called What to Expect from Clinton, read and written by Paul DeLacy from Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, for Cambridge Extra Magazine. About a year ago, I was meandering through a semi-rural central New Jersey town near where I live. As I got within view of the old red mill, two young females walked past. One said to the other, "No, I live in Clinton." After several months of furious subconscious computation, I figured out that she was saying, "I live in Clinton." In hindsight, it was obvious, after all, the town is called Clinton. Now, to be really clear about my vowels here, I should warn you that my native language is New Zealand English, and I don't have a high front lax vowel. I tend to substitute it for something a lot lower, but what I'm trying to get here is the fact that the vowel that the woman used was both nasalized and creaky. So, for it being nasalized, she wasn't saying "cluh" or "uh." She was saying "uh." And she wasn't saying just "uh." She was saying it creaky as well. So, a creaky version of "uh" is "uh." So she was saying "cluh." My New Zealand English pronunciation of Clinton is quite different. Clinton, and occasionally Clinton. But given American English phonology, "clear" makes a lot of sense. I thought it would be worth talking about why it makes sense now that Hillary Clinton is one of the leading contenders for the US Democratic Party's presidential nomination. If she becomes president, how will Americans say her name? How should the world expect to hear her name pronounced? President Clinton? I should mention right from the start that I'm not claiming that every American says "clear." A lot of them might be headed in that direction, but there's a lot of dialect variation. For example, my colleague Tom Stevens told me that people in his South Carolina hometown say "Clinton." This is phonologically unsurprising. There's a phonological process in many American English dialects that actively eliminates NT clusters, especially after stressed vowels. So you hear "internet" and "winter," not "internet" and "winter." The process is productive, too. I was told that a person who squints is a squinter, even though they say "squint," not "squin." Someone who hinted at the right answer too much was called a hinner. So "Clinton" makes a lot of sense, and from what I hear, it's the usual way to say "Clinton" in the southern states. So why doesn't everyone say "Clinton"? All of my New Jersey students have the NT to N process. They'd all say "squinter" if they had the chance. But none of them say "Clinton." Instead, some of them say "Clinton" and others say "Clinton." They even do this productively. I told a couple of students about a verb that means to act like Clint Eastwood, to "clint." I then managed to maneuver them into saying "clinter" with the suffix "er," someone who clints, and "clinting" with the "ing" suffix, which they actually say is just an "n." They said "clint" for a "clint" and "Clinner," as expected, that's the NT to N process kicking in. But for "Clinting," they said "Clinton" or "Clinton," not "Clinton." So what's going on? Well, the final "n" sequence becomes a syllabic nasal, so "Clinton." This process happens in all unstressed syllables with liquids and nasals, like "riddle" and things like that. The T obligatorily also becomes a glottal stop before the syllabic nasal, so it comes out as "Clinton." The T to glottal stop before N process is completely productive, as in "mitten," "button," "whiten," and even "button" for "button." Now, this is the nominal form for, like, "he's a button," someone who butts in, compared with the form when the stress is on the N, which comes out as "button." The T to glottal stop process inadvertently prevents the NT to N process from applying because there's no T left to be eliminated. However, most people don't say "Clinton." They say "Clinton." My colleague Jonathan Wright reports that this pronunciation is common throughout the US. Even on TV, pundits like Chris Matthews and Tim Russert say "Clinton" this way. And participants at the recent Democratic National Convention seem to say "Clinton" almost exclusively. For these speakers, every vowel NTN sequence emerges as a nasalized vowel followed by a glottal stop and a syllabic nasal. So, for example, Jonathan also says mountain. This process of N elimination isn't really surprising. It's been a feature of African American English for a very long time, and word final and syllable final coders are especially susceptible to this process. More and more of my students seem to eliminate syllable final N whenever they can. They merge it with the preceding vowel to make the nasal vowel. So now there are a lot of words that contrast Justin vowel nasalization, like hit, as in hit, versus hit. We are getting closer to accounting for a clear, believe it or not. Glottal stops often induce creakiness on surrounding elements, so Clinton often comes out as Clinton. Exactly how much creak there is varies a lot with my students. In fact, I heard a great presentation by Phil Quick where he observes that the phonological glottal stop in the Indonesian language Pendau is often entirely phonetically realized as creak on a nearby vowel, so it explains why I've heard Clinton. The glottal stop is entirely realized as creaky voice. For some speakers, the realization of glottal stop as creaky voice has become more than a process of phonetic realization. It's been phonologized so that a glottal stop becomes creaky voice on a preceding vowel. This raises a problem for clen. It ends in a coda N. The N must be eliminated, so you might expect the result to be clen. But this form raises a problem. It's just too short. English phonology doesn't permit words to have a single short lax vowel. For some speakers, the solution seems to be to lengthen the vowel, so it comes out as clen. This lengthening is a bit perplexing since American English doesn't allow a long lax I. But I guess at this point, the speaker's dialect is well on its way to developing contrastive nasal vowels, contrastive creaky vowels, and contrastive nasalized creaky vowels, so a long lax vowel isn't too much of a stretch. I've heard clear too, which has the virtue of avoiding a long I. There's even another option. The African American students in my class said Clinton for Clinton. In fact, there's a common expression in the US, no you didn't, which is properly, it seems, said in the African-American dialect. The didn't comes out as didn't. Note that the final T deletes entirely. There's no creak on the preceding vowel. The same kind of thing happens to Clinton, except that the first vowel is nasalized because of the N following it, coming out as Clinton. I'd expect Clinton to go down the same path as for Clinton. The glottal stop will cause creakiness on the preceding vowel, Clinton, with the glottal stop ultimately eliminated as its own segment, coming out as clen, with the creak extending into the following vowel, winding up like clen. It seems like all roads are leading inexorably to clen. So, how does this affect you? Well, if you're listening to the presidential nominee debates, you might hear Hillary Clinton called Clinton, 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 or clear. Surprisingly, none of these forms are unexpected, depending on what kind of phonology and phonetic system the speaker has. Now, of course, there's a lot more about Clinton I didn't discuss here. There's the sociolinguistic side of things, who says which pronunciation. There's the diachronic point of view, which is tied in with issues of perception and articulation. How did learners come to actuate a phonological process, like NT turns into N, and how about T turns into glottal stop before an N, etc., etc. There's the phonetic interface point of view, too. How is phonological glottal stop realized phonetically as creaky voice, and in what environments? It's crucial to consider all of these aspects to fully explain Clinton, but my focus here was on how productive phonological processes can explain a lot of the range of dialect variation. So what will Clinton become in the US? The southern states' Clinton is probably at a fairly stable state. At most, the next step would be to follow many other dialects and get rid of the final nasal, with future clinner. As for the New Jersey dialects, and for many others, the Clinton form seems to be most popular. But the more undergraduates I hear, the more that Clinton and even clinner crops up. African-American English seems to be following a different path, but we'll probably end up in the same place with clinner. In other words, Clinton is a herald of things to come. Prepare yourselves to hear more and more creaky nasalized vowels emanating from the US.